Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 23rd, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
The greatest thing that we're looking at for the Mars mission is actually moving to a bioregenerative food system.
This is a very strange object. It's darker than coal. It's darker than black acrylic paint.
This parasite seems to be able to get inside the brain and specifically alter a very strong hardwired rodent response to a predator.
If we look at the viral infections, we can see more extracellular light that is produced in the cells than compared to the bacterial infections.
This week, how to tell the viruses from the bacteria and how a parasite turns rats against themselves. Also, can caffeine protect against skin cancer? And astronomers have discovered the darkest planet yet. But first, Suzanne Bard learned why astronauts of the future may need to become master gardeners.
During the Apollo missions, astronauts ate prepackaged meals on their way to and from the moon. But a manned mission to Mars would take 3 years round trip, so a more lightweight, nutritious, and sustainable approach to dining could be key. Nutritionist Maya Cooper of NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston says that may mean growing food in mid-flight.
The greatest thing that we're looking at for the Mars mission is actually moving to a bioregenerative food system. That would be a food system where the crew is actually responsible for gardening in space, growing a large portion of crops that they would need to sustain themselves.
She says the best candidates for a trip to the red planet include dwarf varieties of high-yield crops.
And these could include soybeans and lettuce and tomatoes and things of that nature.
And future astronauts will have to become master hydroponic gardeners in space.
Generally, this involves a lot more work, a lot more time on the crew's part, because currently all of the food is already prepared. All they have to do is sort of heat and eat. With the Mars system, if you actually had to put time investment into agricultural practices, food processing, food preparation, cleanup, it's a lot more time intensive food system. But because you have the food growing at the site, then you don't have to worry about the freshness of the food because you just picked it.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. In other space news, scientists have recently identified the darkest known planet. It's a gas giant about the size of Jupiter, 750 light years from Earth. David Kipping of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics led the team. Using data from the NASA Kepler spacecraft, they found that the planet reflects less than 1% of the light that hits it.
This is a very strange object. It's darker than coal. It's darker than black acrylic paint. So that's darker than the moon, that's darker than the Earth, which is about 37%. It's darker than Jupiter, which is sort of 40 to 50%. So an interesting mystery as to what on Earth can make a Jupiter-sized planet become so dark.
The planet's extremely hot, an estimated 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit, which limits the kind of atmosphere it can support. Kipping says it may contain highly light-absorbing chemicals like vaporized sodium and potassium. But even that can't account for how dark it is, so he suspects there may be exotic chemistry involved that scientists have yet to understand. Next, caffeine is one of the world's most widely used drugs. Although we think of it as a stimulant, it has other effects as well, including some we haven't fully explored. Correspondent Justin Warner reports on its potential in skin cancer prevention.
In epidemiological studies, caffeine consumption has been linked to reduced skin cancer rates. Now, University of Washington dermatologist Paul Niem and his colleagues may have found a reason. They believe it's because caffeine suppresses an enzyme called ATR, which is critical in cell division.
And we found a number of years ago that just partially inhibiting ATR function could selectively kill precancerous cells that had had some DNA damage.
Also, in previous studies, Rutgers University biologist Alan Conney gave caffeine to mice, either orally or topically. Either way, mice that were given caffeine were less likely to get skin cancer from UV light than those who weren't.
I was involved in some of those studies too, and we could see that the ATR pathway was being inhibited by caffeine. What we didn't know for sure was if that was the relevant thing.
To find out, they engineered mice with ATR-deficient skin. Sure enough, those mice were less susceptible to skin cancer than normal mice.
And this approach allowed us to cleanly say that ATR inhibition by itself does appear to explain the UV protection.
Neem notes that caffeine molecules also block UV rays directly, so caffeine might prove to be a doubly useful additive to sunscreens. But first, they'll need to make sure it doesn't have a long-term negative effect on healthy skin.
Thanks, Justin. When you've got a nasty bug, doctors want to know if it's bacterial or viral so they can treat your infection effectively. Now, Israeli scientists have developed a way to find out in just a few hours. Doctoral student Daria Prilutsky of Ben-Gurion University of the Negev spearheaded the project. She says viral and bacterial infections trigger different immune responses. Her team could tell the difference using luminol, a glowing chemical also used to detect blood at crime scenes.
If we look at the viral infections, we can see more extracellular light that is produced in the cells than compared to the bacterial infections.
They hope the technique will help doctors treat bacterial infections promptly, knowing they're not wasting antibiotics on viruses or needlessly contributing to antibiotic resistance. Finally this week, Suzanne reports on how a tiny but dangerous parasite messes with a rat's mind for its own benefit.
A pathogen called Toxoplasma gondii reproduces inside the digestive tract of cats. In order to get there, the felines have to eat vermin. But since rodents are naturally afraid of cats, the parasite has evolved a way to override their fear response. To find out what causes this unnatural attraction, Stanford School of Medicine neuroscientist Patrick House and his colleagues exposed toxoplasma-infected male rats to the smell of cat urine and measured activity in a region of their brain called the amygdala.
You actually get activity in the pathways that's very similar to when you take a normal animal and expose it to a female in heat. So this parasite seems to be able to get inside the brain and specifically alter a very strong, hardwired rodent response to a predator and flip that around, perturb it for its own benefit.
He says other studies suggest that toxoplasma may also be related to human mental health conditions such as schizophrenia, but it's not yet known whether there's a cause and effect relationship.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, how analyzing football plays could improve artificial intelligence. And do men and women really differ in their spatial reasoning abilities? Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.